Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 through 45 as follows. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. These are the words. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed, there have been, and there will be, in our lifetimes, events that may well be described as shocking, astonishing. These events are unforgettable events that lead to a great deal of introspection and discussion. The events of 9/11 qualify as shocking and astonishing. Natural disasters certainly also qualify as shocking and astonishing. There were also astonishing events that took place in the first century that people discussed because they were so astounding. The Gospel of Luke refers to two of these events. It tells us how certain Galileans brought sacrifices to offer to God, but Pontius Pilate, the governor, sent his soldiers to kill them, and their blood came to be mingled with the sacrifices. That event was surely shocking and was discussed for some time. Also, the Tower of Siloam fell, and we're told it killed 18 people. I can't imagine that that event was forgotten quickly either. Shocking indeed. In the Word of God before us this morning, we witness a number of astonishing events described by the Gospel writer, John Mark. These events open our eyes and serve to remind us of the astonishing events that we may or may not see happening right here in Marquette. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit open our eyes that we may see the faith of the leper and learn to approach Jesus like he did. That we may hear the humble prayer of the leper and learn to pray like he did. That we may witness Jesus' loving concern for the leper and know that he has the same loving concern for us. Therefore we pray, sanctify us by the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. More and more since the invention of the television and with the technological advances in high definition, we are more and more becoming a society that's impressed more with what we see than with what we read. It seems to me that what we see has a greater effect on us than the things that we read. After all, we can see fear, we can see sorrow, we can see the effect that something has in someone's face. But it's hard to describe that in a book. It's hard to understand it when we read it. Even though it's described rather matter-of-factly here, the event that we read about in this part of the Word of God was truly an astonishing event. There are elements of this event that people must have talked about for years to come. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him." Now, when we read those words, we don't think anything of it. But the leper's approach to Jesus was out of the ordinary. as was his need. We probably think nothing of the fact that a diseased man came right up to Jesus and fell down at his feet before him. But this was not normal. It was ordinary for a person who was infected with leprosy to cry out when encountering someone on the road as a warning. It was ordinary for a person with this disease to keep their distance because they were often disfigured and because the disease could be passed on to other people. It was ordinary for a person with this disease, leprosy, to live out their life alone, only in the company of other lepers. No doubt if there was a crowd around Jesus when this took place, they all moved away. It was astonishing. It was shocking. A shocking departure from normal custom and protocol that this leper walked right up to Jesus and fell on his knees before him. And he must have been a horrifying sight, because the Gospel of Luke, that runs parallel to this account, tells us that the man was full of leprosy. His disease was in an advanced state. He probably looked like a mess. He was a walking dead man. And his need was obvious. Our need is just as serious. While there may appear to be nothing wrong with us outwardly, we certainly don't look disfigured. We are each and every one of us born conceived of sinful parents in sin. We, however, are often in denial about the seriousness of sin. Sin isn't a disease that causes us all to be short of breath or physically weak or disfigured. We live as if there will always be a tomorrow. We take life for granted. But we are by birth and nature spiritually dead in sin. But none of us looks like a corpse. God's holy law reveals the truth about our hopeless, natural condition, which is why so few want to hear about it. There's no natural remedy. There's no antibiotic for sin. There's no vitamin that will ward off death. Our corrupt natures want nothing to do with God. Our sins separate us from Him. Which is why we, like the leper, come to Jesus and fall at his feet. We also know that he alone can help. The fact that we do confess our sins and humble ourselves before him is astonishing evidence that faith has been kindled in our hearts. God has done what only he can do: give spiritual life to those born spiritually dead. Now, the leper's appearance was astonishing, but his prayer to Jesus was even more amazing. He prayed to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, again, it was ordinary for people to come to Jesus for healing. It was ordinary for people to ask Jesus relief from their sickness and pain. It happened all the time. But people didn't often come like this man. In the Old Testament, we read of Naaman the Syrian, who came to the prophet Elisha, with payment in hand to be healed. And when Elisha told him to go wash himself in the Jordan River, a dirty river, he was offended. He came with a certain amount of arrogance and pride to the prophet. This leper didn't come like that. It wasn't just what he asked, but how he asked it. He said to Jesus, "If you are willing." He left his healing entirely up to Jesus. If Jesus wished to heal him, he'd be healed. If Jesus didn't wish him to be healed, then he'd die. And he was prepared for that. And sometimes it is God's will that a believer depart this life to be with Christ, which is far better. But who can say but the Almighty himself what's best for each individual believer? This leper's trust in Christ is astonishing. And so is his faith in Jesus' power. He believed Jesus was able to cleanse him of his incurable disease, even at its advanced state. His faith believed, understood, that with God, and only with God, nothing is impossible. So let me ask you, are your prayers astonishing? Do your prayers bear witness to your absolute trust in Jesus to know what's best for you? Do you pray like this leper? Lord, if it's your will, do this. Do your prayers express that confidence that he is able to hear and answer your prayers? If when you pray, you believe that God's will be done, then your prayers are astonishing. They are shocking and rare. If we leave the outcome entirely up to God and are comforted and encouraged, then our prayers are astonishing. What Jesus did next for the man wasn't just shocking. It was, in those days, considered unthinkable. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So if you knew someone who had an infectious skin disease, would you reach out and touch them with an unprotected hand? Duh, no. If you knew someone who was infected with the Ebola virus or some other sickness, would you willingly be confined to a small room with them? Probably not. What Jesus did was astonishing and, for most, unthinkable. He risked contracting disease in order to comfort this man in his disease. He reached out and touched him. He risked being shunned by other people to express his love for the man. And when he touched the man, or when he spoke to him, the leprosy left him immediately. Jesus' touching answer to the leper's prayer is yet another testimony of his love for each and every sinner, even the disfigured, even the diseased. Jesus is both willing and able to heal. But let's remember that all of this happened because of a quality in Jesus. His love moved him to heal the leper. It wasn't some inborn nobility in the man himself. He wasn't worthy of being healed. He wasn't deserving of being healed. It was Christ's love that caused it. Jesus still has the same touching concern for each one of us today. He comes to us personally through his word to tell us that our sins are forgiven, that he died for us. He comes to us in his supper, confirming in a miraculous fashion that our debt of sin has been paid in full. Jesus is willing and has cleansed us of sin. In fact, today we stand justified before God through faith in what he did. And one day we will, through death, be forever separated from these corrupt bodies. And when we are raised to life, these bodies will be glorified and made perfect for everlasting life. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This seems a little astonishing too, doesn't it? How quickly Jesus' attitude toward the man went from compassion to scolding. Surely the man knew what was required of him. If he was to return to regular life with people, he'd have to go to the priest in the temple, who would declare him to be clean by taking a look at his body. Certainly he knew that he was to offer up sacrifices of thanksgiving to God for his healing. He knew that. But Jesus knew the man's heart. Jesus' words, though strict, reveal his loving concern not only for the man who had just been healed then and there, but for his ongoing spiritual health. He knew that this miracle would stand as testimony to others of who he was and what he came to do. Jesus is God and is also concerned about our ongoing relationship with him. If our relationship with Jesus is to remain strong, then it's vital that we continue to read and learn from his word. For even as physical health requires constant nourishment, so our faith in Christ also needs to be nourished by the Savior through his word. We need much more than trite sayings and religious sounding words. We need to be thoughtfully in the word day by day. And Jesus wants us to come to him in prayer again and again, not to be healed again, but to confirm to our trembling hearts that we are forgiven. As the Lord was concerned about the cleansed leper's ongoing relationship with him, he's concerned about ours. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, here are a few things that aren't so shocking. It's not so surprising that the man didn't follow through. It's not so surprising that when people heard, they streamed to Jesus from every direction. I mean, what do you suppose would happen today if someone healed an incurable disease like cancer? Everybody would want to talk to that fellow. It's not so surprising that Jesus ended up being like the leper, unable even to come into town because of all the people. We have an astonishing need here in Marquette. And it's a need that only Jesus can fill, which is why we come to him with humble yet hopeful hearts. We know him to be a willing and caring Savior who has touching concern for us. We know that he will continue to bless us through his word. We know that because he still invites us to come to him, and he still confirms our sins are forgiven. The hymn writer invites us like this: come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows to you, to me, to all, in a full perpetual tide opened when our Savior died. Come in poverty and meanness, come defiled without, within, from infection and uncleanness, from the leprosy of sin. Wash your robes and make them white. You shall walk with God in light. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.